coming up.
Oh, God, it's the mannequin, of course.
I broke that into three parts.
I'm a very 70s boy in that respect.
It's all right, I'll remember this.
Surprise, surprise.
How do you say that? With Sam and Mark.
Oh, now that's cool.
Do not be scared.
It is a rare medical script.
Is it pathophysiology by any chance?
My voice was a couple of octaves lower.
Who booked him?
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to today's episode of How Do You Say That? As always, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Now, every week, we set out to prove that there is more than just one way to read a script. And if you're a voiceover artist, director, actor, podcaster, maybe anyone who uses a mic professionally, then this is the podcast for you. Let me introduce my co-host, Sam Boffin. Hello,
hello,
Sam.
Hiya. Hi,
Now, Mom. Today's fun fact about Sam, I'm very well, thank you. Fun fact about Sam is that she has a life-sized mannequin at the top of the stairs in her house that regularly scares people. I would be terrified.
Yes, it regularly scares me, actually. If I go to the loo in the middle of the night, I think, what the... that? Oh, God, it's the mannequin, of course. But I keep my jewellery on it.
That's even weirder.
That's weird, doesn't it?
I once stayed in someone's house and he had a full-size Dalek at the top of his desk. And
oh,
that
now
scared
that's
the bejesus
cool.
out of me. Yeah, I know, well.
That's cool. My co-host is Mark Rice, who doesn't like mayo.
No.
And he doesn't like ketchup.
No.
But he does like Mary Rose sauce.
Yeah. Mm.
Disgust.
Yes, now this is, it's weird because Mary Rose sauce is basically mayo and ketchup together.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know why, it just changes the flavour. Isn't that, that's a weird fun fact.
That is weird. That is weird. Do you have a lot of prawn cocktails in your life?
I do like a prawn cocktail. I'm a very 70s boy in that respect.
Well, there you go.
Well, of course, we also have a very special guest who this week is John Mundy. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks
we
for joining us.
Fine, absolutely. John was born and educated in Manchester and is possibly best known to listeners of LBC as their station imaging voice for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So he trained as an actor, but he's worked mostly in TV continuity. First, he worked for ITV and then The Beeb, where he anchored regional news programme Northwest Tonight. Ooh.
He did indeed, absolutely. Well, after a five-year stint working in real estate in Florida, John returned to the UK in 2000, where he's been a full-time voiceover ever since, working in TV and radio commercials, corporate documentaries, and most genres in between, as far as I can see, John.
Yeah.
In this very busy time, have you got a fun fact that you can share with us?
Well, as you were just saying then, that I started off as an actor in a repertory theatre, which I was at the famous Oldham Rep.
It produced some big names, though, Oldham Rep, didn't it?
It certainly did. And the time that I was there specifically, yes, a lot. Anne Kirkbride, who was Deirdre in Coronation.
Deirdre and Corrie, yeah.
And, of course, in Rep, this was fortnightly Rep, so we would do a different play every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you'd be rehearsing during the day for the play that you were going to do the following 2 weeks. And then at Christmas, the panto, that always made enough money, really, to keep the theatre going for the rest of the year. And the dame that particular year had a pet dog. And I was the pet dog in a full outfit, a full sort of faux fur costume.
Wow.
A black and white costume with a black and white eye and a black nose.
Wow.
And so I was in the green room waiting for a cue to go on when the boss came in and sat in the green room with us with his pet dog, which was a little beagle. And just as I heard my cue coming up, I thought, oh, I'll play a trick on the dog. So I put the hood of this costume up, got on all fours on the floor, and growled at this dog. Well, it flew from the sofa, the other side of the green room, and fixed itself on my face.
Oh, no!
So I had to limp on three paws with a bit of toilet roll in the other paw.
Oh, my God.
The boss took me to the casualty department, still in the costume. And always having an eye for publicity, he managed to get hold of a press organisation, sent a photographer down, took a picture of me, and the headline the next day was Dog Bites Dog.
And on that very savage note, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Okay, so this is something... I never bring scripts like this along.
This is a horrible script.
It is a horrible script, and I do apologise. It is a rare medical script for me.
John, I'm so sorry. I can only apologise in advance.
It's all right. I'll remember this.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You're on my list.
So who's the audience for this, Sam? Is it doctors or is it patients? Who is it?
No, it's not doctors. It's more patients or very, very junior doctors or students of. But it's quite light in terms of the medical part of it.
I mean, light is not a word I would have used in this script at all.
Yeah, well, it's lighter than some I've seen, I have to say.
So presumably it goes with video pictures or cartoon pictures of pulmonary arterial hypertension?
Now, this might help you because it really helped me. I was in this a cartoon doctor.
Ah.
Now, that helped me enormously.
Yes.
Because it meant that I could have a little bit more fun with it and I could think myself into that character, if you like.
I'm tempted to go Mad Professor with it now, but that's going too far, isn't it?
Well, probably, but the point is that that's sort of how I approached it.
Okay. No, that
does
help.
It wasn't quite Mad Professor.
No, I appreciate that.
It really helped me get into it.
There is a very horrible phrase in this script, and it comes there twice, blood flow through.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You
see, I didn't mind that bit.
It's a tongue twister, so I'm going to have to be really careful.
It is, but actually, if you get the sense of it, it isn't. You don't have to run the three things together, do you?
Okay.
It's reducing blood flow through the lungs.
Ah.
So it's not like that. It's not. It's
do,
not.
Do you mark scripts up where you're going to put a little pause like that?
I don't. No. Oh, there you go. Neither of us do.
I'd already put a sort of comma after blood flow.
Okay. Interesting.
Just to tell me that there is a bit of a, you know, to make sure you get the words right, it's better if you've got a little bit of a break after blood flow.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, John.
What I have done, though, is there's one word in there that I don't like at all, and I have put a hyphen in it.
I've put two in that, actually.
Have you? Yeah. Ooh, you'll probably do better than me, then.
it's three syllables, isn't it?
Yes,
is it
is,
pathophysiology, by any chance?
Yes, it is pathophysiology.
Yes, you see, those are the kind of words in medical scripts that jump off the page at you, aren't they?
I know.
And do you ever change the middle part of that, pathophysi, I've changed that to F-I-Z-Z-Y to give...
Yeah, I do that occasionally.
I haven't done that, but this is the sort of thing I could and would do.
Yeah.
If it was, absolutely.
Only to give you a clue as you're coming up to it.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'll have a go first, and then we'll talk about that, and then John can have a go. let's see. But a character read is interesting as opposed to a straightforward kind of corporate medical script. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Pulmonary arterial hypertension is a rare progressive disease that causes the pulmonary arteries to thicken and narrow, reducing blood flow through the lungs and leading to strain on the heart. Current understanding of the complex pathophysiology of PAH has grown exponentially, revealing various mechanisms for treating this progressive disease. PAH affects the pulmonary arteries and the heart by reducing blood flow through the lungs, in turn increasing strain to the heart to eventually cause right ventricular dysfunction.
Yes, now you lent into character there.
I lent into cartoon character because it was easier.
It was easier, wasn't it?
Yes, much
easier. It's so much easier if you can do that. But it would have been too much.
But I probably would have offered that as a first read and then they could have taken
would
that.
You?
At least they could take that down.
With no care that they would be going, what the? Who got him?
Yeah, maybe not. It depends how much of a discussion we'd had about cartoon beforehand. Yeah.
It's not the sort of script that lends itself to a character, really, is it? Because it's very serious.
No, and it was very much a gentle sort of it was very much a gentle character through. So it helped me a bit.
John, would you like to have a crack at it?
Yes, but I've no idea what kind of character.
I didn't really do a character. It just gently helped me slightly to think of it as something other than just tricky words on a page.
Yeah. All right. Here we go then. Pulmonary arterial hypertension is a rare progressive disease that causes the pulmonary arteries to thicken and narrow, reducing blood flow through the lungs and leading to strain on the heart. Current understanding of the complex pathophysiology of PAH has grown exponentially, revealing various mechanisms for treating this progressive disease. PAH affects the pulmonary arteries and the heart by reducing blood flow through the lungs, in turn increasing strain to the heart, eventually to cause right ventricular dysfunction.
Very nice. That felt very trustworthy.
Really did.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But then I'm used to hearing John's voice a lot on the radio, so I got the immediate trust from that, John.
I do, for some reason, because I'm not very trustworthy at all. For some reason, I do get a lot of that kind of thing, you know, bedside manner and all that.
Yeah.
What slightly worried me is that both of you have pronounced pulmonary as pulmonary, and yes. I pronounced it as pulmonary.
Ah.
Oh.
And I wonder if now I've done it absolutely wrong.
That's just funny.
So that's just amusing now.
Shall we hear how Sam did it, John?
Yeah.
Because
it's always
a surprise.
Pulmonary arterial hypertension is a rare progressive disease that causes the pulmonary arteries to thicken and narrow, reducing blood flow through the lungs and leading to strain on the heart. Current understanding of the complex pathophysiology of PAH has grown exponentially, revealing various mechanisms for treating this progressive disease. PAH affects the pulmonary arteries and the heart by reducing blood flow through the lungs, in turn increasing strain to the heart to eventually cause right ventricular dysfunction.
It's a difficult script, that, and I think we've all had a tiny bit of difficulty with it.
I'm very rarely asked to do medical scripts, and that's the
and then you decided to bring it along.
Yes. Bit of a masochist, really, aren't you?
Oh my God, no! But it's just I find them such a difficulty. I must admit, I don't find them easy.
You know, it takes a lot of time going through it beforehand, for me. I wouldn't dream of just skimming something like that. I'd have to really concentrate. And as I say, I would change words. I'd put slashes here, there, dot, dot, dots. If you could see one of my scripts, it's just full of little marks.
The trouble is, I find that more confusing.
Yeah, well, we all have our own little tricks, don't we, that we try.
Yeah,
anything
totally.
To get through it. And I think that's possibly for me, because I worked live so many years, you know. I was doing news for 22 years.
Which has got a lot of complex stuff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, people's names and, yeah.
When you hit words like pathophysiology, you can feel the panic rising in you sometimes. And that's, John, why you were saying you mark up scripts, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, even people like Angela Rippon, do you remember her?
Strictly Come Dancing as well.
Yeah, Strictly. But before that career, she was a newsreader. And I remember seeing in a documentary once that the documentary makers had wired her with a heart monitor and a blood pressure cuff.
Ooh.
So as she was doing live news, there was a story about an African dictator. I think he was called something like Ndabaningi Sithole. And very obviously very difficult to pronounce, and she'd obviously practiced it beforehand.
Yeah.
But as she was reading through the autocue and this name was coming up, her blood pressure started to rise, her heart rate started to go up.
Wow.
As soon as she'd got it out and said the name, it dropped completely back down to normal.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a little technique that works for you by writing something out. So as I say, pathophysiology, I broke that into three parts, put hyphens in it, patho, hyphen, physi, hyphenology. And the middle bit, I've changed to F-I-Z-Z-Y, just so that in my brain, I know, just glancing at it very quickly, it's pathophysiology.
It's a great top tip.
Well, it works for me.
How do you say that?
Well, it's worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts that we've been working on, difficult though they are.
Yeah.
But we've changed some names and details to avoid copyright issues. So, John, would you like to tell us about the script that you've brought with you today?
Sure, yeah. I've done a series of documentaries recently, one of which is a series about the most haunted pubs in Britain.
That's so cool.
It's a great script, this. In comparison to what we've just read, this is a beautiful script.
I know. It is. It's a gorgeous script, yeah.
And so this is already, it's been released. I think it's certainly on YouTube at the moment.
If you can find the link, I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, okay.
Is it a dark documentary? Is it about the myth and legend of the things that you find?
It is, but it's done in the kind of lighthearted way that a lot of these programs are, that go into old houses and people are measuring, you know, the temperature changes and those little voice machines that if they can hear something, they you know, in the background, they say, "Oh, that was what that what was that word he said?" So it's got that feel to it. It's not serious at all.
And this will seem like a really simple question, but when we come to Wales, is it Wales is?
Ah, now, funnily enough, I've put an apostrophe after the S.
Yeah.
To tell me I'm just going to do it as Wales.
Yeah,
Wales,
that's what
not
I was
Wales
thinking.
Is.
So one of Wales' most enigmatic is that. Yeah, okay. That's what I would have done. Yeah.
Go on then, Sam. Let's give it a go.
Okay. Nestled among the stunning Welsh landscapes, the Skirrid Inn has a history steeped in mystery and phantoms. Known for its eerie legends, ghostly encounters, and centuries-old secrets, this venue earned its reputation as one of Wales' most enigmatic establishments. The exact age of the inn is unknown, but it was mentioned in documents from the year 1100. It has seen its fair share of turbulent times, serving as a hostel for weary travellers, a meeting place for rebels, and even where condemned prisoners were held en route to the gallows. It has also served as a courthouse.
You did that thing that you do sometimes with documentary, Sam. You've ignored the punctuation and made it run into each other, but it made a lot more sense that way.
Yes, I quite like ignoring punctuation.
Yeah. And I like the kind of approach. That's a lot slower than I tend to do because I speak naturally very quickly.
Ah, okay.
But knowing what the pictures were like, funnily enough, I saw one of the documentaries that I'd done and just recorded the script for the other day. Yeah. I saw it and they'd slowed the whole thing down.
Oh, interesting.
In the edit, they'd slowed the... It was still the same pitch, but they'd slowed the pace of it. I mean, it's amazing what they can do with digital technology these days, isn't it? But they'd actually slowed down my pace. So I must have recorded it too quickly for the pictures.
How lovely to have a client that didn't make you do it all over again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right, let me have a go at the Welsh landscapes then, shall I? See what I do with that. Okay. Nestled among the stunning Welsh landscapes, the Skirrid Inn has a history steeped in mystery and phantoms. Known for its eerie legends, ghostly encounters, and centuries-old secrets, this venue earned its reputation as one of Wales' most enigmatic establishments. The exact age of the inn is unknown, but it was mentioned in documents from the year 1100. It's seen its fair share of turbulent times, serving as a hostel for weary travellers, a meeting place for rebels, and even where condemned prisoners were held en route to the gallows, as it also served as a courthouse.
Ah, that was interesting.
Why?
It was interesting because I misread something and I hadn't realised I'd misread it.
Yeah, but
I hadn't realised I'd misread it.
Yeah, you did do the end differently than Mark just did.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of pace I would have done it.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought you were very atmospheric, actually.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
thank
a good
you.
Word.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to say that now. That's what I was going for.
You were definitely giving it sort of acting then. I tend to go straight for things because of my news background.
Yeah.
I don't tend to put a lot of that kind of expression into it, but maybe I should. I should, you know, start to try and develop that a bit more.
So I'd love to hear how you did it.
In fact, this one, the day that I did it, I had a really bad cold.
Oh,
and
no.
So my voice was a couple of octaves lower, so it gave it even more of an eerie feel.
Well, I haven't got time to send any woodbines over first, I'm afraid.
How about a bottle of scotch?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Nestled among the stunning Welsh landscape, the Skirrid Inn has a history steeped in mystery and phantoms. Known for its eerie legends, ghostly encounters, and centuries-old secrets, this venue earned its reputation of one of Wales' most enigmatic establishments. The exact age of the inn is unknown, but it was mentioned in documents from the year 1100. It has seen its fair share of turbulent times, serving as a hostel for weary travellers, a meeting place for rebels, and even where condemned prisoners were held en route to the gallows, as it also served as a courthouse.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's a much more newsy vibe to it.
Yeah, much more matter-of-fact, actually. Yeah. And it really works nicely, actually.
I can see how that's exactly what they would want from that.
Except they slowed it down.
Your natural approach to it was to make it more newsy journalistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, my natural approach was almost the opposite of that. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that we just bring, you know, what we bring to these things.
I don't know if either of you do write, but I mean, I used to report as well. So you'd be out on the road thinking, oh, how am I going to structure this now, this piece, how am I going to start it? What cue am I going to write for the presenter in the studio to read into this?
Oh, that's really interesting, because I write, but of course I'm usually writing to create a sense of story.
Yeah,
I'm writing to create. So that's a different kind of writing, actually.
Absolutely,
potentially, anyway.
The stuff that I was involved in was factual. 2.5 minutes and that's it. You've got to get as much as you possibly can in for that 2.5 minutes.
Play How Do You Say That?
And now, of course, here is the moment we love, the wildcard bit. So we are going to approach these scripts in a completely different way. So, Mark.
Yes.
I would like you to be...
Uh-oh. Are you going to be kind this week or not?
I am. I am definitely going to be kind. I think we should all be kind and all have the same script. Let's not worry about that.
Do we not want to go anywhere near pulmonary arterial hypertension?
Oh my God, nobody wants to. Nobody wants to do that.
Can you? I mean, I did that almost as a character anyway.
That's true, actually. Yeah. And beautifully you did it as well. So that's maybe the way to go with it. But I would like you to be a career criminal.
Oh, okay.
So you're kind of like...
gangster.
Gangster. Script number two, please.
A gangster with any particular motivation?
Well, that's a good point, actually. A gangster planning a heist.
Oh, okay. Fair. Okay. Right. Where am I going to go with this then? Okay. Right, you horrible people, listen up. Because nestled amongst the stunning Welsh landscapes, the Skirrid Inn, right, that's the mark. It's got a history steeped in mystery and phantoms. Known for its eerie legends, ghostly encounters and centuries-old secrets, it's earned its reputation of one of Wales's most enigmatic establishments. Do not be scared. The exact age of the inn is unknown, but it was mentioned in documents from 1100. Now, it's seen its fair share of turbulent times, all right, so you know what you're going into. Serving as a hostel for weary travellers. It's always been a meeting place for rebels and, maybe I shouldn't tell you, condemned prisoners were held en route there to the gallows because it served as a courthouse. But let's just make sure that we don't find ourselves in that position, boys, all right?
Very good.
Very nice. Lovely geezer.
I like that. I like the ad libs. Yeah, definitely.
I think I probably had to off the back of that.
So what did you imagine? Did you imagine yourself anywhere in particular?
I imagined myself with a lot of stubble in somewhere quite dark, looking at the Skirrid Inn. So kind of maybe in a van just before we went into the Skirrid Inn, something like that.
Right.
Maybe.
You were checking it out, were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Casing the joint, casing the joint.
Exactly. John, do you feel like you're up for a challenge?
Well, it depends. It depends what you're going to ask me to do.
I will say, go back to your actor roots, okay?
Yes, so, okay.
Once again, let's talk about Welsh landscapes.
Yeah.
But let's,
surprise.
Let's be a teacher, a Duke of Edinburgh Award teacher, talking to a bunch of Duke of Edinburgh Award students.
Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they are going to have to camp around the Skirrid Inn, something like that.
Yes, okay, yep. Mm-hmm. pay attention, please. Nestled among the stunning Welsh landscape, the Skirrid Inn has a history steeped in mystery and phantoms. Known for its eerie legends, ghostly encounters and centuries-old secrets. Pay attention, stop that. This venue earned its reputation as one of Wales' most enigmatic establishments. The exact age of the inn is unknown, but it was mentioned in documents from the year when?
Sir?
Yes, that's right, 1100. It's seen its fair share of turbulent times, serving as a hostel for weary travellers, a meeting place for rebels, yes, rather like you, Henry. And even where condemned prisoners were held en route for the gallows, it also served as a courthouse.
Do you know what? I was given the vibe of... who was that teacher in Grange Hill, the horrible one that everyone hated? Do you know, the bald guy? I was really getting that kind of vibe.
Yes, I definitely had teachers like that at school, for sure.
Heavens above. But you took us there directly. That was very good. That was nice characterization there, Joel. I love it. Absolutely. So, John, you have one more task. And the task, of course, is to try and give a character to Sam for her to have a go at and maybe a motivation for Sam.
Okay. Well, I was thinking of a supermarket checkout, an announcer.
Oh.
But. And then I thought maybe an air stewardess.
Huh? Okay.
You know, the plane is about to land in Cardiff.
Okay.
And so you're on the tannoy telling the passengers what the local attractions are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Okay, yes.
Okay. Nestled among the stunning Welsh landscapes, the Skirrid Inn, just down there you can see it, just to the left of the runway. It has a history steeped in mystery and phantoms. Oh, yes, it is known for its eerie legends, ghostly encounters and centuries-old secrets. Now, this venue, yes, the one you can see, sir, on the left, yes, this venue earned its reputation as one of Wales' most enigmatic establishments. And, yes, you can go straight there after we land. The exact age of the inn is unknown, but it's really jolly nice.
That's it.
Yeah. Bing.
Yeah, coming round with the drinks next.
Cut and crew cross check.
And of course, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booths, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourselves.
Yes, go on, have a go at pulmonary arterial whatever it is.
Please do. Please do.
If you really want, you can send it in as well if you like.
Yes.
So anyway,
I love it.
Our question this week, because John is here and John is a master of radio imaging with LBC. John, it's a really specific part of the industry, but unless you're in it, people think it's a little bit of a mystery. What are the kind of elements that you need to record? What do we need to know about radio imaging if we're going to do it properly?
Obviously, LBC, you know what the station is. You listen to it, you hear it, it's talk, it's news. The name of the station and the output tells you really what the imaging should be. With LBC, when I took over as their station voice 10 years ago, they just had a new package of music made. I think it was done something like Hungary, this fabulous, you know, full orchestra.
Yeah.
So all the music leading up to the news on the hour, it's got this minute-long piece and it's all strings and really moves
along.
So having heard that, they played those to me before they even told me what they wanted me to do. And I just picked it up from that.
Good.
So you knew it was big by that point?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. That was the word that I got in my head.
Yeah.
It's got to be big and bold and going into the news, that particular one going into the news, it's on every hour, on the hour, every hour.
Yep.
So it's got to have something that makes it stand out, obviously, because it's leading into the news. But also, it's got to be done in a way that isn't going to bore people. You know, it's not going to sound too predictable.
News jingles are weird, aren't they? Because they change every so often, depending on what the station actually wants to promote.
Yeah. And during it was about 3 months before the Queen passed away, I did a whole another package for LBC with a much more somber tone.
I bet. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting.
Because they are quite, the general ones that they use every day are quite punchy.
I was going to use the word punchy. That's exactly the right word. And do they come back with direction like that? Or is it just that you've been doing it for so long that they know, they trust, they send you the script and you just do it?
Generally speaking, that's what happens. But occasionally, they will say, this is for a trail, rather than station IDs or, you know, leading into a break. We're using these as lines within a trail. So I might just have to say things like tomorrow, just one word, or next week. And so I will give them five or six versions of that. And then they will come back and say, can you do it quicker? Because with being in a 30-second trail, they don't want it spread out too much. It's got to be really tight so that if they're using clips of Nick Ferrari, who does the breakfast show, if they're going to use a clip of him talking to a guest in between my bits, they don't want me taking more time than Nick is talk when he's talking. So
yeah,
they have to be really those lines will be really punchy. Other times they'll come and say, "Well, just you can relax a little bit with that. Just you know, smooth it out a bit towards the end." But generally speaking, they send the script. I know exactly from the words what kind of approach is required. I do it and send it back to them, and the next thing is it's on air. You know,
wow.
I've done station imaging for two different types of radio station. One was a hot hits Caribbean station, and another was a very gentle classical music station. Not classical, but kind of smooth yeah. chill style music.
Right.
Mm. And those two imaging packages couldn't have been more different, because one was hot hits, blah, 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 and the other was really gentle and down.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what you mean by it's just got to kind of go with whichever style
yeah.
channel it is.
Yes. My the stuff I do for LBC wouldn't be no use whatsoever on Classic FM. Mm. But funnily enough, they were trying a thing where they were cross-promoting from Classic FM, saying things like coming up at 1 o'clock on our sister station, LBC,
right.
Sheila Fogarty.
Yeah.
And so the producer I work with at LBC, who normally just sends the script, he sent a little note saying, this is on Classic FM, so please don't do it as punchy as you would normally do this stuff. Yeah.
Do you find ever that you've got a new presenter name and you have no idea how they actually pronounce their name?
Yeah. That happens all the time.
It doesn't surprise me.
If there's nobody I can actually phone and talk to, I will just have a stab at it doing it three or four different ways. It happens when they get a politician at the last minute to go on Nick Ferrari's program.
Yeah.
And if it's a politician that's not very well known, somebody from one of the back benches, you know, you sometimes just have to have a stab at it and hope you're
sure.
right. I was often told at the BBC, oh, say it with confidence and say it quickly. Nobody will know apart from his mother.
John, that is amazing advice. And actually, I think is really good for people doing imaging. Thank you so much for coming on the show, John. A reminder that all of John Mundy's details can be found in the show notes. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've loved it. Thank you very much indeed for having me. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thank you so much. And we'll also be putting today's scripts in the show notes so that you can have a read yourself.
Indeed.
So please do like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and feel free to give us a review if you fancy it.
Yeah, that's it for this week. Thanks again to John Mundy, and we'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking,
How do you say that?
How do you say that?